This is Fresh Air. Ever since she was a young girl, Nancy Lieberman loved sports more than anything else. Guy sports like football, baseball, and basketball. Not the kind of games most young girls growing up in the 60s and early 70s played. She learned how to compete by playing with boys, and she was good. In the schoolyard, high school, and college, Lieberman played basketball and quickly distinguished herself as a great athlete. She was the youngest woman ever to play on an Olympic basketball team, which won a silver medal in 1976. She was the top draft choice in 1980 of the now-defunct Women's Basketball League. And in 1986, she was selected as the first woman to play on the all-male United States Basketball League. After meeting tennis star Martina Navratilova in the early 80s, she became her training coach and lover. Nancy Lieberman is married now and calls herself Nancy Lieberman Klein. She's written a book about her life called Lady Magic. She told me she started playing ball as a way of getting out of the house and away from her parents who were fighting all the time. I asked her what her parents and the other neighborhood kids called her when they saw her on the court.
Tomboy. She'll grow out of it. She's worse than 10 boys. The perception was, you know, Mrs. Lieberman, what's wrong with Nancy? Your daughter is in the schoolyard with all these black kids. I think you need to talk to her. I didn't think there was anything wrong with that because I was just so, you know, ingrained in just playing. And I had such a love for the competition. And I really liked, I felt a bond to the kids that I played with in the schoolyard. It was like an unconditional bond. You know, if you could play and if you could win, they accepted you.
When you played with or against boys, did they see you as a girl playing against them? Did they cut you a break at all?
No, I was just a competitor. Growing up in New York, the way it kind of shook out on the streets was you go to the schoolyard and there's just 10 or 15 players trying to get on a court, trying to play either 2-on-2 or 3-on-3. If you lose, that's it for the afternoon, basically, because if you're the smaller kids, you only had one basket. And you never get on the court with the bigger kids. So they thought and knew that I could win. And that was the common denominator there, the bond, is that I was a, you know, one of two or one of three that could stay on the floor.
When you started playing on girls' teams, how different was your style of play compared to theirs?
I think I looked rather mean because I was a very aggressive athlete. I mean, I was 5 foot, in high school I was 5'8" and could dunk a tennis ball, which is, you know, pretty remarkable for a 5'8" white girl. I was extremely physical, and most women, or I should say girls at that time, were not used to running to the basket and getting boxed out or getting a, you know, butt in their stomach or an elbow, or they weren't used to that. So I think there was a lot of animosity originally, but I wasn't going to change and bring my level to them. I wanted them to bring their level to me. And I think, you know, as we played together and they recognized, you know, I wasn't a nasty person, you know, we did get along.
When did you feel that people began to take you seriously as an athlete? And I'm thinking of coaches or even the media.
When I first came back from that USA tryout where I eventually had my ribs broken, but I was 15 years old and I went to try out, the Soviet Olympic team was touring the U.S. prior to 76, and this was in 1974, and I just went to try out. And it was the first time I took me seriously because I saw hundreds of women playing basketball doing exactly what I was doing at my ability level. And when I ended up making the cut to go to Albuquerque, and now I was getting all this media attention from all the New York newspapers and radio and TV, my mother, I mean, her attitude changed overnight. And then at the trials, I mean, when coaches are saying, Nancy, you know, we really want you to come to UCLA, we really want you to come to, you know, Yale, we really want you to come to the University of Georgia or Maryland, when you've never really thought about college before, and now all of a sudden I had 100 scholarship offers, and I'm doing interviews, you know, every couple of weeks around the country, all of a sudden you start saying to yourself, this is bigger than I thought it was going to be.
When you're playing on being the one girl on a boys' team, do you really get to see another side of them that perhaps the girls who date them don't get?
Sure, you get to see what slobs they are. No, actually, you know, in the men's leagues that I've played in, I played for Pat Riley for the Lakers in their summer league in 1980. And I have to tell you, when I first walked into the locker room, you could have heard a pin drop, because they just looked at me like, you know, this lady's coming in here and she's going to take my minutes. But if you show them that you have a personality, or you can laugh, and, you know, I'll tell you this quick story. I'm pretty sarcastic, and I try and be, you know, funny with people. I walk into the Laker training camp, and the trainer, Jack Curran, just throws his Laker purple bag at me. And I kind of caught it, and he says, "Are you Lieberman?" And I'm like, "Yes." He says, "Well, you change in there." And he's pointing to the locker room. I said, "Jack, that's where the guys are dressing." And I was a little nervous, I have to tell you. And he says, "Well, you change in there." And I could tell right off the bat he was trying to test me. I walk into the locker room, and all these guys are just staring at me. I mean, Laker number one draft picks and guys that are trying to make it in the NBA. And I find this little area in the back, and I open up this bag, and there's like a Laker mesh jersey, and there's Laker shorts and Laker socks and a Laker jock. So I hold this thing up, and I go, "Yo, Jack." And everybody turns around. I go, "This thing's too small. You got something bigger for me?" And all the guys just started laughing. And it kind of broke the ice with them, because at least they realized that I had a good sense of humor. And although we have something in common, we all are basketball players. And they've been terrific to me. I mean, they curse and talk. I could tell you the ugly part of these guys sleeping with maids and traveling on buses for 9 hours, and all they talk about is what women they were with. I mean, which is just amazing to me. But, you know, for the most part, they're pretty nice guys, and they treated me like I was their baby sister.
Were you able to keep up with them? I mean, were you able to play, make as many points, play defense and offense?
Well, in a women's basketball game, I'm going to score a lot of points. In a men's basketball game, I have to make adjustments because I'm not as big or I'm not as quick, but I'm more of a passer. I'm more of a conductor orchestrating my offense. My job is to make my teammates look better, get them in the right position where they need to be as a point guard. So it was more of a cerebral type of game than an actual physical game for me. And that's why I ended up lasting 2 years, because I was as good a passer as anybody in the league.
I'm speaking with Nancy Lieberman-Klein, and she was the youngest player on the 1976 Olympic team that won the silver medal. She was the first woman to play in the men's pro league, and this was in 1986. And she was also a top draft choice of the Women's Basketball League back in 1980, and she's the subject of a book called Lady Magic, the autobiography of Nancy Lieberman-Klein. We're going to take a short break. This is Fresh Air. My guest is Nancy Lieberman-Klein, and she is a basketball player. Tell us how you met Martina Navratilova.
It was in 1981, and Dallas, the team I was playing for, had just lost the championship in the Women's Professional Basketball League, and I was really depressed as a competitor. And one of the girls on the tennis tour who lives in Dallas, her family was always coming to my games, and Annie's parents kept saying, "You've got to come down and watch Ann play tennis." And when I went down there, I had bumped into people like Tracy Austin and Chris Everett, because I had been to a lot of banquets and you socialize with different athletes. And somebody came up to me, Bud Collins, and Bud says, "You know, Martina, this is Nancy Lieberman." She goes, I know. I watch her play all the time. You just lost the championship game." And I'm like, "Thanks, Martina. Appreciate it." And, you know, so we shook hands, and I just looked at her, and I said, "I cannot believe how small you are." And that's kind of how our conversation struck up.
Well, you say in your book that you still don't understand your relationship with Martina Navratilova.
You never know why certain things happen in your life. I mean, you certainly don't grow up as a kid and say, "You know, I'm going to have a relationship with Martina." That's going to be, you don't know these things. But, you know, when we met and we started talking and we spent some time, you know, later at the tournament, you know, you just sit there, you know, right off the bat when you hit it off with somebody or when you feel comfortable with somebody. And it was taking somebody like myself that really didn't trust anybody, I mean, my defenses were immediately down. And I mean, I just kind of felt this bond to this woman. And it was a very different feeling. It was very, you know, something that when you say you can't describe it or understand it, you don't know. You just go with it if you feel that way.
How did you work with her on her game? And as you describe it, when you first met her, she had very little discipline. She rarely ever practiced. And she didn't seem to take herself very seriously as an athlete. And this would be 10, 12, 13 years ago.
Martina had won 2 Wimbledons before I met her. And it just amazed me that she was able to put it together for 2 weeks and win 2 Wimbledons, because if Martina didn't feel like practicing, she didn't practice. And it was when I went to the French Open with her shortly after we met that I realized it. And kind of with me is what you see is what you get. And one day we're sitting in the hotel room and I just looked at her. I said, "Can I ask you a question?" And she said, "Yes." I said, "Are you going to practice today?" She said, "Nancy, we just came back from the practice courts." And I said, "Well, Martina, the way I see it is you went to the court, you hit a couple volleys, you hit a couple shots on the baseline, you talked to Billie Jean at the net, you talked to Betsy Nagelson at the net, you hit a few overheads, you hit some serves, you stretched, you shot baskets with me for 45 minutes, and here we are. You were more intent on learning how to shoot a layup than you were working on your game at practice." I said, "That just stinks." I said, "You know, this is just horrible." I said, "I'm embarrassed for you." You should have seen her face. Nobody had ever said that to her. And she ended up losing the tournament. She says, "Come on, let's go buy some jewelry." I'm like, "Jewelry? You just got your behind kicked and you want to go out and buy jewelry? She didn't deserve any rewards." And she couldn't understand that way of thinking. And so I think that was the start of, you know, Martina, I don't know anything about tennis, but I know how to be a winner, and I know about discipline and prioritizing. And if you'll trust me, I can help you. And that's basically how our training started.
How did you try to hide your relationship with Martina from the public?
Well, you don't try and hide it. I mean, heck, I was nervous, but you try and live your life, but you know, you're doing something that's not accepted. So you really live behind closed doors and try and lead, I guess, as normal a life, if you can say that, as possible. You would never see, one thing about Martina, I mean, you're never going to see Martina in public holding hands with somebody or kissing. Martina is just not like that. It's the media that brought out the fact that she was gay. It wasn't Martina. So you just try and be respectful of others and discreet and, you know, be your public person. But when you get home, you know, be whatever else, you know, you are.
But did you find the press and others trying to pry into your private life?
Sure. I mean, people are curious by nature, and they were very curious. And, you know, but, you know, we just were steadfast that, you know, we just worked together and we were friends. And you know, the thing about Martina and I is we're very honest people. And so you don't like to lie to people. I have a hard time looking somebody in the eye and saying, "No, I didn't do that." Yeah. Because, I you are what you are. I mean, my life is night and day from, you know, 8 years ago. You know, I mean, I'm happily married for 4 years. And I think now, you know, with my Christianity and, you know, just certain beliefs, and I have a different life and a different lifestyle. But Martina was, she opened a whole new world to me. She taught me a lot. And just not only personally, but, you know, dealing with it in public was a great learning experience.
What is your relationship with Martina Navratilova now?
We do a lot of business together. Let me qualify that by saying I have a sports marketing company in Omaha, Nebraska. And Martina has played 3 exhibitions in the last year for my company, meaning I pay her fee. I don't want whatever another promoter would pay to have Martina play an exhibition, that's what I do. And that's pretty much the extent of our business relationship. And, you know, and the other part is that we're just friends. You know, we'll, you know, see each other, talk sports, or, you know, see how each other's families are doing. So, you know, we have a good friendship, and we, you know, seem to have a better working relationship because it's by contract.
Keeps things clean, right?
Yes.
Well, you're 33 years old, and you want to try out for the Olympics in women's basketball. I assume the women that you're going to be competing against on this team are going to be in their early 20s.
Yes.
Are you in the kind of condition to play, I guess, to compete for the team and then play Olympic-level basketball?
I think what I lack more than anything is actually getting out there in game situations. But when I go to USA tryouts, whether it's Goodwill, Pan Am, I'm always, if not the top conditioned athlete. I mean, coaches right off the bat, when I walk into a tryout and they haven't seen me play, you know what I want them to say? How does she look like that? I can't believe she looks like that. She had to do some darn hard work for her body to look that hard or that strong or that cut. First impressions mean a lot to a committee. They haven't seen me play. I have no statistics to back up my hard work. So I've got to catch their eye with something. So, you know, you can bet that if I go to an Olympic tryout, I'm going to be in condition to compete.
Well, Nancy Lieberman-Klein, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Nancy Lieberman-Klein's book is called Lady Magic. This is Fresh Air.